teaching on sanctification, which is truly a purification that God is doing to each and every believer. Amen. I want us to recite the theme scripture together. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are being sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. Amen. So Jesus, he knew no sin, became sin, that we may be united as one in the brethren. Therefore, he looks not at our sinful nature, but the nature he's given us with this Christ dwelling in us. I want to first say to our first time guests, if you're here for the very first time, we thank God for you. God works through the spirit of unity. Amen. And God wanted you to be here today, which means that there's going to be a greater manifestation of his presence because of you. Amen. Therefore, we honor our first time guests. Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand of praise. Amen. I want you to turn quickly to 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we're going to start off at verse number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 21. Mm-hmm. We there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this divine opportunity to feast at your table. You have shown us over and over and over that you are the true God. And so we thank you for giving us this moment. For we know that the flowers will fade and the grass will wither, but the word of God is eternal. So come and feed us, Lord, with your eternal word, for we desire to hear from you. And Father, as I stand here, I tremble, knowing that I'm not fit to be used by you. But Lord, you chose me in spite of me. So I ask you that you would consecrate me. Make me fit to be used as a vessel. And we promise, after all is said and done, to give you the praise, you the honor, and you the glory. Come now and edify us, your body, with your word, and be glorified through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beginning with verse number 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if he's Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. I want to pause for a moment before we go on, because a question is asked by the prophet. How long will you battle with the opinions? God being God or the opinions that go on in your mind. I want to really pause there, because God is a God of sanctification who is delivering you from your own process of thought. Here, the prophet sees the people of God, because he's speaking to Israel, and the people of God have formed formation, because there's so many people worshiping Baal that their mind have taken on the thought process, and they'll worship God one day and worship themselves another day. So then the prophet asks this question, which I believe the question is being asked to you today: how long is the opinion going to go on? You know, I got to pause, because so often we look at it and things are not going the way we want them to go, and then the first thought we have is want to please ourselves. And then we start talking about what's not right and what is right, and then who's God then? Because everything that happens is ordained by God. Somebody say, it's all right with me. Okay, let's get back into the text. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, but no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you shall call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about and the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as it was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So they all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the middle, in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two sieves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill four pots of with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. Somebody say then. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed and burnt the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now look, the fire fell and it even burned up the stones, burned up everything. Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Amen. And I want all the people that know that the Lord is God to go ahead and say, "The Lord, he is God." Amen. With the process of which God explains to us the beginning of sanctification, I want every believer to know that God is doing this. And that's the topic I want you to meditate. I don't know what this is, but God is doing this. Amen. Give somebody a high five and tell them God's doing this. I want to share with you how the Lord has always done everything. It is something that we as believers must agripulate to, is that God is in charge. And God does not need to ask for your permission. And God does not have to agree with your thought process. But God is the God of perfection, and he's working on perfecting every believer. Go ahead and say, "I'm a believer."
I'm a believer.
It is important for each and every believer to understand that it's really not you doing the work. It is God that is doing all the work. In this particular passage of text, he starts off with Elijah and gives him an assignment during a drought period. And Elijah does not know the purpose that God has called him and chose him. And God has to do a few things so that he knows who God is. Just know this, that God did not choose you and save you and pull you out to make it all about you. There is purpose that is far bigger than you can ever think. Eye has not seen, neither ear heard, the thing that God has prepared for those that love him. In other words, God is working on something that he has not even revealed to you yet concerning your life. God has began a process of sanctification that I want you to see through Elijah, because God continues to operate the same always. And so in understanding that God is up to something, and it is on purpose, for purpose, and in his purpose. And so God is not accidentally doing anything or coincidentally doing anything. Everything that has happened in your life, that is happening in your life, and that will happen in your life has been purposed by God for a specific purpose in him and for him to bless you. You have to understand that God's purpose is bigger than what you could ever think, hope, or imagine. God's purpose is perfected for you. And if you were to get involved in the purpose, to define what the purpose would be messed up. So God has to disinclude you from his perfectness so that he can perform what he's already purposed in you. And God will not ask for your permission. He's going to work it out the way he wants to work it out, when he wants to work it out. And there's nothing we can say about it. If you really love him, no matter what's going on in your life, you'll just be ready to praise him, because you know that your God knows everything anyway and can do anything at any given time. And if you know he loves you, then you know he's working it out for you. So then he calls this prophet, he calls him out at a time where there's famine in the land, and there's a few things he wants to do. Number one, he wants to make his identity known to him. So first thing God does is he brings us out, and then he has to change our identity. And so in order for God to change our identity, and you are no longer your own, you are now his. And so when he calls you out, you have to understand that you are now his. He calls Elijah out, and the next thing he does, he says, now that you identify that it is me that is in charge of you, I'm going to have to give you what's next. He says, first thing I have to tell you is that you have purpose. In order to get through the purpose, it's going to take a process. This process does not include our way of thinking. This process is what's called a divine plan. So he gives you an identity which causes you to get into position. The Bible says we are positioned in him. So no longer are you positioned in the world, you are positioned in Christ. If you are positioned in him, then you are operating in him and not in you and not in the world. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. We have a new position. Say, I have a new position. When you get a new position, I thought about this for a minute because I was an engineer for quite some time, and an opening opened up for operations management. And so when I took that position, my old position, I did not do anymore. I had new assignments. And when you get a new position, when you are positioned in Christ, your assignments have changed. Therefore, it is not what you want to do, it is what God wants to do through you. And the body of Christ has become frustrated because we think that because we've given our life to Christ, that everything is supposed to be A-okay. But that's not the way God works. He works quite differently, and he starts off in this text dealing with Elijah. Now, listen how he calls out Elijah during a time when there's famine in the land. And we're picking it up from chapter 17, although we read 18. Elijah starts off, and he's hungry, and he's in a dry land, and there's nothing to eat, and God tells him to go to this widow's house, and she's going to feed you. Now, he shows up at the widow's house to get a meal. The widow tells him, I can't help you. All I have is one cup of meal and a jar of oil. And me and my son, we're about to cook it, eat it, and die. Now, wait a minute. If I'm Elijah, I'm tripping right about now. God, how you going to send me somewhere to get something to eat and there's nothing to eat? And Elijah says, well, look, all I know is if you feed me, everything is going to work out. The good thing about God is he had already went to the widow and told her, I'm sending the man of God to you. And when he gets there, you feed him. So she's battling with herself because I got my child. This joker ain't about to get our last meal. We're going to die after we do this. Somebody say God's more powerful. Because God has spoke to her. She had to obey God, even though her mouth was speaking what she thought Her actions made her prepare the meal and feed the man of God. And when she fed the man of God, because she was following God's will, God multiplied the jar of food that she was able to feed herself, feed her son, and take the rest of the stuff and put it back in the cabinet for tomorrow, because she never ran out. God will send you to a place that is unfamiliar to you. And the truth be told, you might not like what God's assignment is for your life. But I'm here to tell you, you don't belong to you. And if you change your identity and let God have his way with you, you'll see the power of God in full effect for your life. All it takes is you trusting God, believing that he'll work it out, even when it looks like it won't work out, that he'll just mess up and work it out for you. Anyway, your God is Alpha and Omega, beginning, end. He can do anything at any time. He loves him from you. Your God is so hooked up with you. He loves you. He's vested. He cares about everything about you. He's got it worked out for you. And he gives us this picture of a prophet who starts off, who does not know God. And so the first thing God does is put him in a situation so he would know that there is a God. So God, he got to see a miracle. How many of you have seen God's miracle working power? I was about to say, if you hadn't, make sure you stop by the mirror when you get back to the house. Because you are the miracle working power of God. He stops by. The woman feeds him. She gives him a place to stay. And as time goes on, the woman, her son, stops breathing. He's dead. And so she runs to the prophet. You brought death upon my house? How you gonna bring, I fed you. Now look. And the prophet doesn't know he's a prophet. He just heard he's a man of God. He's following God's instructions. So God tells him, get the boy. Take him up to the room. He gets the boy, takes him up to the room. The Bible says he laid the boy down, and then he took himself and he stretched himself across the boy. The Bible said he did it three times, and the boy came to life. See if you can picture it. And he takes the boy and he goes downstairs and takes it to the widow and gives her son, who was once dead, but now he's alive. But what boggled me in the text, because I think if somebody would have brought my son back to me and he was dead, I'd be shouting, my son is alive. I'd be celebrating the life that he's in. I'd be holding him and kissing him. But God, somebody say, but God. But God has her speak a different message. She does not address the son. She addresses the man. And she tells him, "Oh, man of God, you are a prophet of God." Isn't it something that God was confirmed through somebody else the call that he has on his life? He had never heard that he was a prophet, but because he was willing to stretch himself. I don't know who it is, but sometimes you got to look at trouble and be ready to stretch yourself out above the trouble. And when God gets ready to stretch you, sometimes he will use stuff that don't look like it's going to work. And you just going to have to stretch your faith and stretch your faith and stretch your faith until you get a connection with God that will bring life to a dead situation. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's not time to quit. It's time to stretch. Come here for a minute, Brother Rudy. Now, when God gets ready to do something great in your life, God is not focused so on you. He's focused on the purpose he put in you. When God gets ready to stretch you, he does not use the way that you want him to stretch you. He will use something that's going to stretch your faith. Because my reach, I can't reach him from here in the position I'm in. But when my faith grows, I stretch. And when God begins to stretch me, it's really not about me, but it's about me reaching somebody that he has already chosen through the stretch that he's put in my life. And when God stretches you, you'll be able to reach more people. Amen. 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 Okay. So it's not about you. God is stretching you. The process. He gets confirmation. He's a prophet. I'm a prophet. Wait. The woman that he sent me to a dead situation is now speaking life back to me. Have you ever hooked up with somebody and you came to bless them and they turn around and bless you? Yeah. And you went, God, I was really trying to be a blessing. And I just feel so blessed. That's how God works. And Elijah, he gets this word, and now he's on assignment. So he goes and he hooks up with this cat named Obadiah, who loves the Lord, and he says, "Where is Ahab at?" Now get this, he's looking for Ahab because Ahab's wife Jezebel had killed a whole lot of God's prophets. So he said, "I'm gonna send a prophet so that they'll know that there is a God." So he shows up and he brings out Ahab. He said, "Bring all 950, the 450 prophets and the other 400 people that believe in Baal." He said, "Bring them all out here." Because most of them were serving God and they've been tricked into serving themselves and this God that you said is real. Have you ever been duped into serving yourself? You know, you just want it your way. God has a plan and you don't want to stick to God's plan because that don't feel good. And you think, "Oh, how are you going to put me in this situation?" God will put you in a situation that looks dead to you so that he can get life unto you. And you are still looking at what's dead. And God wants you to speak life to something that's dead. And in order for you to speak life into it, he has to reignite your faith in him. So he shows up, he says, "We're going to see." Now get this, he had just heard he was a prophet. Now he follows God's instruction. Shows up, says, "We're going to see who's God today." He said, "You get the bull and we're going to build an altar and you go first. You know this God that you serve?" He said, "You go first because there's so many of you." Now you can imagine, they get together and they begin to worship. They say in the morning time, "Oh God, come on down, Baal. Come on, Baal. We need you, Baal. Come consume this offering." The Bible said they were just jumping and shouting. You know how, I thought about that for a minute. Sometimes God will do something for us and we start jumping and shouting and praising God. over that. And not jumping and shouting and praising him over him just being who he is. You get caught up in that, you might start serving that. But God wants you to worship him for who he is. And they began, and they just jumping and shouting, oh, come on, Baal. We know you up there, Baal. Oh, Baal. And they're going crazy for him. You know what I like about God? He has a sense of humor. I couldn't serve a God that I didn't enjoy serving. People say, oh, you smile too much. Every time I see you smile, you ought to be more serious. I'm a smile as much as I can. Every second I get that I can smile, I'm a smile. You want to know why? Because I've been through so much in my life that had my smile upside down. And if God just gives me one thing to light it up with, I'm going to light this thing up. I'm going to laugh as much as I can. I'm going to smile as much as I can. Why? Because I serve a God that's good all the time. And now that I know, that I know, that I know he is good, even when it looks bad, I can keep on smiling when I don't even feel like smiling. I see some smiles out there. He shows up. Now get this. He's watching them. The Bible says that after God didn't, the Baal didn't show up, he said that they started cutting themselves, as which was a custom. See, they would have lost me right there. Because I don't like pain. So I don't know. That one had me going for a second. But they start cutting themselves as if that was going to bring Baal out. Now, that's what the enemy do. He wants you to harm yourself. And we've been falling for the trick. Let me show you. You may not have took a knife and cut yourself. But when you start speaking against yourself, when you start speaking against those that love you, you are really cutting yourself, harming yourself, because you already have power to speak life into a dead situation. And if it looks all bad, you could speak it into good. Do you understand why God says life and death is in the power of the tongue? You can curse yourself with your own mouth. Oh, I'll never do that. Oh, they'll never accept me. You already accepted in the beloved. If they haven't accepted you yet, just watch the clock. They're going to have to, because you're accepted in him and everything belongs to him. Don't feel accepted. Sit your little self down and say, oh, they come, man. While they're doing this, Elijah said, with that humor, right? God's humor, he said, hey, y'all, wait, hold up. Holler louder. He might not be paying attention. Oh, wait. He might be sleeping, y'all. Let's see if we can wake him up. I mean, he starts to play and play with them. And he never shows up. So he ends it. He says, okay, let me show you how it's done. The Bible says he got the rocks. He rebuilt the altar, prepared the bull and everything. Then it says, he got 4 pots of water and began to pour it all over the offering. Then the Bible says he had them do it a second time. So they did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. Now, wait. The water is symbolic of the word. Water is a purifier. And so the word is what purifieth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word what? God. And God shows himself that I'm a God of three persons. And so then he sends word over the offering three times. We see that God says, I got to show you in the Old Testament that I'm a God of three persons. So they poured the water for God, the Holy Spirit, and for Christ. The water was symbolic of showing that God was all in this thing. Now get the picture, because after they done that, word over the offering, it said they began to offer unto God. So an offering. Churches are teaching, oh, yeah, you got to give your offering the money. That's not the offering that really pleases God. The money's already God's. Amen. God wants you. Amen. And the Bible says, he said, they began the offering. The offering was to the God of Jacob, to the God of Isaac, to the God over Israel. In other words, they were worshiping God. So God is after your worship. When they began to worship God, the Bible says fire came down from heaven and began to consume the offering. And God came down and lit up the offering and consumed everything. Why did God do that? Well, when the people saw what God did, the Bible said they turned back to God. And God, listen, will use your life to turn many back to him. When Jesus got ready for the great transformation, there was a great crushing because he is the anointed. And so when it came time for the great crushing, him being the anointed, the Christ had to go to the cross for the great crucifixion so that the anointing can flow. The Bible says if they had wisdom, they would not have crucified him, because it wasn't until he was crucified that he multiplied. And when they crucified him, he multiplied us. And now it's no longer Christ there, but Christ is walking about everywhere, because now he dwells in every one of the believers and gives us purpose on earth so that we can reach more of the believers. And you have to understand that it's not you doing it. God is doing this. God's doing it. Says the people turn back. Now understand, if he's the anointed and the anointing flows out of him, in order for the anointing to flow out of Christ, that we would be here, he had to be crushed. And so his crushing multiplied. And so now he has come in us. And in order for us to multiply, our purpose is to make sure that we know that it's not about us. This, once he saved you, it became a God thing. So no matter how it looks or how much pain it is, God is producing greatness and multiplication through all the pain that you are facing. God is multiplying you. The Christ that's in you, God is multiplying you. That's why Mary, even though her oil was in the jar, it wasn't good for nothing until the jar got broke and the oil fell out of the jar. That's what happens to us. When God breaks us, the oil flows out of us. And some of us feel broken right now, but God is flowing through your brokenness. God is using you to release the power. But that's how purpose is produced. Do you know that we pray for stuff more than we pray for him? God, just have your way. And we want to avoid pain when he works his best work through pain. I looked at his building characteristics as I went back to the gym after 14 years.
Hallelujah!
And everything was flabby. But in order for it to build, it hurt. Every day. And in order for God to build us, breaking news, it's going to hurt. But God works in pain. And his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so when God gets ready to use you greatly, expect a crushing. I always let God speak to me and through every one of my situations. So in order to work out right and not hurt yourself, you got to get up and stretch. The prophet stretched his faith. In order for me to work out, I have to stretch every morning. I don't know about anybody else, but stretching hurts more than the exercise itself. And so when God gets ready to stretch you, it's going to be painful. But God wants you to understand, whatever he brings you to, he's going to bring you through. There is greatness attached to the faith of every believer. And it's not up to you to figure it out. All you got to do is faith it out and know that God is working it out. No matter how it looks, it has already been finished, that God has established greatness for your life. And all he's got to do is work the purpose that's in you out of you, and you've been trying to hold on to purpose because you've been trying to think it all the way through, because in your own culture, I just need to let you know, that's a spirit of Baal that you are being sanctified from, because God is bigger than every thought that you have allowed to come into your imagination. If you can think it out, there's no way God's going to work it out. So you might as well just let God be God and let God be God alone. Everybody rest your feet. I'm saying that because everybody needs to know. Elijah gives us this portrait of what Christ has done, is doing, and will do.